Good afternoon. We're at the Gawler Swimming Pool on their special 60th anniversary, and I have four people here today who are going to share their memories. So we've got Pat Bronwyn, and Bronwyn was mentioned in our first interview, so we know who Bronwyn is, Meredith, and Steve. So I'm going to leave it to these people to talk.
Excellent. Well, my first memories of the Gawler Swimming Pool was when it first opened. My mother decided that everyone in our family needed to learn to swim, and at that stage there was four of us, and I think my younger brother must have just been born, but Mum couldn't swim either, so we would come down here and have swimming lessons, and so Mum learnt to swim when I learnt to swim. My other brother and two other sisters could swim just a little bit, but not much at all, so basically pretty much everyone in Gawler, probably at that era, probably learnt to swim at the swimming pool. Which is pretty amazing when you think about it.
Definitely. And those were the years when they were initiating the Learn to Swim campaigns in January during the school holidays. And we've seen them systematically be reduced and reduced over the years. There's not enough funding.
And Mr. Ramsey was the first instructor in charge, and he used to walk around with his suit on. And he was a local principal of one of the schools here in Gawler at that stage. And, yes, when it was hot, he would take the jacket off, but he never got in the water.
Wonder if he could even swim himself.
Precisely. My father couldn't swim. He could float. That's but he used to be the coach of the diving, self-appointed coach of the diving. He had no idea about diving at all, but that's okay. He just stood up there and said...
We probably need to add that Paddy Sankey was also a diving judge. So he absolutely couldn't swim, never dive. Dove? I guess that's the word you use. But he was a judge, and he and my father, Kevin Hitch, were officials with the South Australian Swimming for many, many years. And I know Dad was a life member of the swimming club.
Pretty sure Paddy was, yeah.
And my mother, Helen, was as well. Mm. And, I mean, they used to come down here as volunteers, and Dad used to do the backwash of the swimming pool. Mm. And because the swimming pool, I think once it got started, it was run by the swimming club and was basically on volunteers.
Yes, Meredith, I have vivid memories. I have a connection, A, because I played netball. We were the first netball team for the swimming club. I played water polo. We used to travel to Henley and Grange Pool. Bronwyn mentioned the other day Roseworthy Pond or pool or dam, whatever you want to call it. We also went to the the aquatics baths, yes, and then also when the new pool came. Also water polo, as I said earlier, which was great fun. Remember going to town with Mark Boone, who's probably been mentioned. There'd be eight of us in the car. I remember one night coming home and he picked up a hitchhiker, which was interesting. I remember one night, or never nights after water polo, we'd go into the city and we'd go to the railway station or near the town hall, and the boys would have their pie floaters. And I think Pat said earlier...
Yeah, my brother Philip had the South Australian record, six in a row, but you had to wait for half an hour because you weren't allowed to throw up. That was the stipulation. So he was a legend in his own lunchbox for a long time. Yeah. Yes, and that's a lot of pie floaters. That's revolting. That's a sad thing about Adelaide. There are no floaters stands anymore.
That's right. We used to do one at Norwood for a while, but I don't know if it's still there.
Well, it was far too fashionable for that.
But the Gawler Swimming Club was extremely successful.
Yeah.
And we had a huge club, and that started right at the beginning. And Doug Lyons probably has to take a lot of credit for that, because he was such an avid swimmer himself. And I remember the pool used to shut at lunchtime from 12:30 to 1:30 every day, and Doug would come down and swim. Mm. And eventually the swimming club used to train at lunchtime. But he really encouraged the community to come down here. And we were talking before outside that the swimming club was so large, the numbers, that at the end of training... We'd be lined up from one end, from the shallow end to the deep end, touching, or there'd be another line behind and we'd swim widths at the end. How us, as young ones, survived in that pool, I don't know.
Yeah, it was like soup.
No wonder we were successful, because we had to swim fast to get away from the big guys that were coming after us all the time. But we had lots of success at the countries, and we always took away a big team.
Yes. Look, I live in Darwin now, and the swimming pool that's near me was built at the same time as Gawler Swimming Pool. And the fellow, as the manager of the swimming pool, used to come down here for the country championships. So Darwin, because of South Australia's administrative role back in the 60s, had included them in the country championships. And so we talk quite often about his visits down and billeting at different country towns when you go to the 3 days. Was it three or four days?
It was 3 days. Yeah. Yep, and we would get billeted out. Mm. But we were talking before outside about when the pool first opened and the first pool attendant here, and there was only one. And he would just sit outside where the canteen is.
He didn't move.
And we'd all be on that 3 metre diving board and that 1 metre diving board, and we'd all be lined up and we'd be all jumping off around in a semicircle. And I don't know, no one ever drowned. Probably there were some near close ones, I should imagine.
Yes.
But he rarely budged, and probably the only time he got up was if someone fell over and was bleeding. And perhaps asked them not to go in the pool. And then he did that for quite a few years.
He actually was the sponsor for my brothers when they got their catechism, whatever it is, Catholic things. Yeah, but he was a really nice person, though. He was a very, very manic person, but he just didn't know what he was really doing. But my eldest brother took over from him when he left for 6 months, and he was all of 18. Would you trust the lives of all these children to an 18-year-old that was discovering girls and drink?
And on a hot day, that pool, there was no swimming. You were just floating in there because it was chock-a-block, wasn't it?
Yeah. We did like to go around swimming around in between people and under people and playing chasing amongst them. Yeah, it was quite good.
It was very much a meeting place too.
Absolutely. It was a hub. This was a hub. Mm. I know. I'm sorry, Stephen, I'll let you talk in a minute.
Yeah.
I remember the pool used to open, I think it was 10 o'clock in the morning back then, and you'd come down. If it closed, you'd walk down the street for lunch and come back in the afternoon. It closed at 6, it opened at 7:30, and you were really upset the nights they didn't open if it was too cool. So it'd be nothing to come three times in a day and walk home at night to Williston at 9 o'clock at night, which you wouldn't do now.
And you could come three times because we all had a season's pass.
That's right.
And Mr. Legard used to do the gate, and he knew everyone. You didn't have to show your pass.
No.
And he'd pull up those. No, I don't know you. You need to show me your pass. But the rest of us would just wander through.
I think one of the greatest things that I think it was the council or was it the club arranged was that families could buy a family pass. It was really, really cost-effective. There were six kids in our family. And it was as my mother said, it was the only thing they actually saved up for, because we would be here nearly all the summer, after school, before school training. It was just our home away from home.
Steve, were you around in the swimming club? We used to do marathons, and we'd have a 24-hour marathon to raise money for
Easter.
The swimming pool. Yeah.
Yep.
And again, the numbers of people that we got here was amazing. But then there wasn't a lot else to do in Gawler, I suppose.
No.
My earliest memory of swimming here was about 1969, I think, when they had the countries here, country championships.
Yeah.
And at that time, Mum was running a marching girls club or something. And they had to do a march presentation around the pool. And that's when I first sort of started watching swimming. And we're hearing about this Bronwyn Hitch that kept winning all these medals. And Mum said, do you want to get involved in swimming? And I said, I could, I suppose. I think I was 12 or 13 years old or something then. And I remember the next year I joined the club and I'd be training, and Mum would keep saying, see if you can catch Bronwyn. catch her, see if you can get her. So I'd be in there swimming my heart out trying to catch Bronwyn in the training. I don't think I did in the first year, but gradually I got there.
You were up there.
Steve, you swam for the club for a long time, though.
Oh, I did, yeah.
Yeah.
So how many years? Because Steve's actually a life member of the swimming club.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly into the 80s. I can't remember exactly when I finished. Yeah. Mm. I remember I got club champion on the trophy 7 years in a row, so I was pretty proud of that.
Goodness. And the club champion trophy was the Bruce Eastick trophy.
Oh, okay. It was a perpetual trophy.
So it was always something that you wanted, and it was an accumulation of points that you got at carnivals and so forth. So, and I think that still goes.
Quite possibly. I know he was very involved in the starting of it with Doug Lyons, and it's a big thing to him. And he's very passionate about it. In fact, he showed me the bunyip last night and said, "Can you take me on Saturday, please?" So make sure he's here. But
Swimming made you popular at school too, if you're any good.
Yes, if you were.
Yeah.
That's right.
They all depended on you to bring the points home for the school.
Yeah, true.
And any Gawler swimmers were always, you know, at the top of the list.
We punched above our weight. Remember
team,
that? No, yes, John Willems. John Willems was a fine swimmer.
Yes.
Well, there were four swimmers here. I'm going to say, I can't remember, the two private girls, Betty Ball and Teresa Snuggs, and they held the state record for the 4x100 metre medley relay. And I'm going to say that was, I'd have to look it up, but maybe the early 70s, maybe the late 60s. But we were a little country town. The pool didn't open until mid-October, and we were competing by the end of October in the top 10s and state championships. And so just to think about that, but one of our first coaches was Roger McGuinness, who came out from England, and he actually pretty much got things going here because he was professional. He had been a coach elsewhere and then got his own squad going. But, yeah, when you think about it, a lot of the country clubs were the same and nobody had heated pools.
No, it certainly wasn't heated back those days, I can remember.
Each winter when the pool closed, the pool was left unchlorinated, and at the end of the season there were things living in it.
Green.
And we were all collected as the club members to come down and help clean the pool when they emptied the pool, and we were with big, big mops and brushes trying to sweep all the sludge down.
It was Hans and John and Tex would come down once we'd nearly got it cleaned with their skateboards and go do the length of it and then down into the deep end and up, and they'd made their own skateboards way before you could buy a skateboard.
Yeah, they were innovative, those boys. They were good swimmers. And I believe Hans had a backstroke record in the state for a long time.
He was a good backstroke.
Yeah, they'd held for a long time.
And John Willems won the swim through Adelaide. I tell people that we used to go and swim through the torrents every year.
He won it the year after my brother won it.
There you go.
Gawler had two people that won the Adelaide swim through.
Yeah.
But I remember once doing that and you had to jump off the weir and it went on your 400 metre time, and I'm lined up with all these older people and they kept saying, "Should you be here?" Anyway, I said yes. So one said, "You stay there," and he jumped in, and then I jumped in, and the other guy jumped behind me because they didn't think I could swim. But when we got, but Pat and my sister and a few others waited for me under one of the bridges, and then when we got to where the fountain is, down where the Brian and David London, respectable Dr. Angola, were bombing us and trying to terrify us in this river.
Oh, well, it was pretty gungy.
It was horrible when you got out and you had all the brown.
We had to wear those little helmets like water polo people wear. And when you took the helmets off at the end of the day, your face was brown and had this white fog. It was gross. I think the year after they actually stopped doing it. Toxic.
We talked about John Boone before.
Mark Boone. Yes.
We used to go virtually all over South Australia to meetings everywhere, talking at the Riverland, Renmark and Gloxton and that, and I think he used to go everywhere on a motorbike. He'd go up there on a motorbike and he'd take his daughter with him and his daughter, coming back from Renmark or Gloxton on the motorbike, and he strapped her on with a rope on the back so she wouldn't fall off, you know, if she went to sleep. It's just horrifying.
It was an interesting.
You wouldn't want to do it now.
Yeah. Like Floyd Stone.
He just did what was practical.
Really? Long-term photographer and reporter for the Bunyip.
So he came to the countries at Whyalla, and we were a very smart club. We all had tie-dyed T-shirts, and people wanted to buy them off us and so forth. And Mark had taken extras. And when he went to go home, he didn't have any money for fuel, so he sold the T-shirts to get him back home. But
he's a character, wasn't he?
He was a character with the family and that. But I remember going to run swimming carnival with your dad in the old combi van. Well, there were six Yankees and it was five of us. But I think it might have been four. And Mum was with us because Dad was a shift worker. And we were crammed, and then we broke down on the way home.
We slept in the back of the train.
It was a long night.
You can't do that anymore. You can in the territory, but you can't do it down here. But yes, it was. We would just sleep all over each other, wouldn't we? Yeah. Really. Sometimes you had a pillow, but usually you had a wet towel to lie on. But we loved it. It was
at the time, I just didn't appreciate the time and effort and money my parents were putting in nearly every weekend for months.
Mm,
and we'd go hundreds of miles, you know. Yeah. Never appreciated it. I do now, but at the time.
Yeah. But didn't we get to see a lot of South Australia because of that sport?
Yeah.
Other kids don't get to do that, but we certainly
we swam in just about every pool in South Australia.
We
know which ones are the coldest.
It was Strathalbyn, Clare and Peterborough.
And New Dunbar.
Oh, yes. Strathalbyn had a swimming pool in their river. And they just had cement blocks on the side.
That's right.
And I remember going to Wallaroo to a swimming carnival, and theirs was in the ocean.
In the ocean,
and it was very rough that day, and we were trying to swim a relay, and everyone's running up and down because they couldn't find their swimmer because they kept getting bumped out of the lanes. It was just... Yeah. And all the swim-throughs that used to happen, I guess they don't do them now because of safety.
It was pretty primitive in those days.
Yeah. Pat, you mentioned green sludge in the swimming pool. I remember a certain young lady who had very blonde hair during the swimming season. If you touched Pat's hair, it was like pond slime.
It was pond slime.
And it looked the colour, but it just felt like it. And I guess the boys were the same, pretty much.
Very much. Derek was whiter than me, and he went quite green. But just because I had longer hair, it just looked more revolting. Mm. Really green.
That was different.
That and pink zinc and peeling noses was just pretty much standard summer fare, wasn't it?
Yes.
And too, most of us were in the swimming club too. By the time we hit 13 or 14, we went and got our instructors. So we were teaching swimming down here during Learn to Swim.
Yep.
And I certainly know when I went to Teachers College and Pat was at uni, we would do it during term time and earn enough money to get us through. But then Pat and I took over the canteen from our mothers.
Yes, it's a family tradition.
Yes. Good time only lasted 1 year. That was enough for us. But it was way too much commitment of time. You had to stock up the shelves and you couldn't eat the profits.
You had to be nice to the customers. That was my downfall. Unfortunately.
But again, that's how it went around. You were part of this club and pretty much still with it because we still have this contact with people that we don't see socially, but we still have that connection, which is lovely.
Some wonderful memories. The proximity of the tennis courts and the netball courts to a lesser extent was just really fantastic. Because people would just finish the game and then come over in their tennis gear and sit around and have a swim, sit around on the grass, have a cigarette, you know. But it was very much a meeting place.
Exactly. It was. It was the hub. That's what we did in summer. Because you don't have the sports that you have now, so many more sports. And we usually used to play netballs on a Saturday, or what was it called, basketball back then, and then they changed it to netball. But there was nothing else to do apart from that.
And like you said, you'd walk home at 9 o'clock.
9 o'clock at night, I'd walk home to Williston. Yeah, I wouldn't do that now.
Well, it's such a big town. We probably had 10,000 people back then.
Used to be about 5. I remember Dad used to say for a long time it was 5,000 people within a 5-mile radius. And that's a number of years ago, but how different it is.
It was even open on Christmas Day afternoon.
And that was because our mothers did the canteen and they'd had enough of us and they wanted us to come to the pool and have a swim. I swear that is it.
They wanted to have a rest, I think, a sleep in the afternoon. So everyone would come down with whatever apparel. Yes, I do remember. But I do remember when I was very little, there were many of us, and my father would come and pick us up after training of an evening. And we would all jump in the car and my brothers would be coming in behind me and they pushed me out the other side. So and Paddy took off in the car park out and said, wait for me. And it took him a little while to realise that I wasn't in the car. So they had to come back and get me.
But even that, like saying the meeting place, I know the canteen had a phone and people would ring up and over the microphone you'd hear, Meredith Eastick, it's time for you to go home.
Yes.
And that's what would happen. That's how kids got told it was time to leave.
Yep. Mind you, I've been here since 10 and it was probably, I'd been down the street for lunch and come back. And
that's the thing. And then the pool, if it was over a certain temperature in the afternoon, the pool would open in the evening. But not till 7:30.
After we finished training.
Training had finished and then we'd do diving training and there'd be this little audience all around the back watching us doing our diving. And I used to feel quite sorry for everyone because I had that continuity. I was in the pool and I stayed in the pool right through until 9 o'clock when the pool shut. But
it's 40
all these
degrees
other people
outside. We're the only ones that were in.
Yeah, just watching these idiots.
Nobody had air conditioning.
It was even hotter for them.
So that's why they were all down here too, the parents and everybody.
I think they used to hate us.
That other longer part, so you're really confined to a lot smaller area until they opened the other part.
They had the grandstand seats.
Yes, right. You wouldn't see. Yeah, with the metal.
The back of the green building across was the back of the swimming pool.
Yes.
So it was very crowded. We had that, but there was a little baby pool on this side, so those two pools, that was sort of grass.
Grass area.
Yes, it was.
It was pretty much the young people. But the young people who shouldn't be smoking used to hide over there.
Yes.
And we had none of these covers. It was all open to the sun.
Yes, the little skin cans coming our way, but that's okay. Yeah. There was several occasions when people would climb over the fence of an evening.
Yeah, we were all pretty much guilty of that.
I think everyone's
sitting here.
Everyone's
I can remember a couple of New Year's Eves.
Yeah.
But there was never any damage done. I don't even know.
I think we were so thrilled to be able to have somewhere to come.
Yeah.
Just wouldn't have thought of doing anything wrong with you. It was just...
Well, we had a swim and we climbed over the fence.
We spent that much time down here. It was like a second home anyway.
Yeah, exactly.
That's
natural.
It was. Yeah.
Yes, it was. It was very good. Very good times. And again, a huge amount of involvement by our parents. And my father was the starter. He had the starter gun at home next to his bed.
Which
used to all steal it and go and play with it out in the backyard. I've got a lot of trouble over that. But that was his main role. It was very important. He had to be the man who did all the starting. My mother would make cream puffs or scones on when we had the country championships, and she'd just be home baking, and they would sell like hotcakes.
Yeah.
Sausage sizzles, the works.
And all the parents would sit in the end with the stopwatches and help with that.
You know what? There was no asking anyone. People just stepped up and did it because they knew, well, my kids to be involved, and this is the only way it's going to be because everyone here is a volunteer. And if you don't have the skills, you'll soon be taught them and you'll be helped with it.
Mm.
Yeah, I'd forgotten about it, the most timekeeping. And Sunday mornings, we used to have time trials here.
Yeah.
And it used to be at 8:30. Now, back in the day, Mum used to make us go to church. Church used to go from 8 till 9, I can tell you now. The Hitch family was in the back row. We'd run down and get communion first, and we'd be out. We had our bathers on underneath. We'd be stripping off just to get down here on time.
Yeah.
But again, all the parents were there, timekeeping. And the record keeping they must have kept going as well.
But I wonder, I think they all used to have a good time together as well.
Yeah, good chat together.
And
I suppose they knew their kids weren't in trouble, you know, their kids knew where their kids were.
Knew where to find you at the pool, for sure.
Yeah. Was there a tradition of throwing people in the water after events?
When we won the countries one year, my dad said that if we won the countries, he'd eat his bathers. Well, Dad could only float. We didn't even know he had bathers. We did win the countries that year, and then must have been the first time down here at train. But one of the mums, and I don't know who, the green bathers out of marshmallow, and he had them and he was eating them, and then we all twigged that was marshmallow. He ended up in the pool anyway.
Yeah,
but
it was. That's when I found out my father couldn't swim. They threw him in.
Oh, no.
But he could float. He could float, so he didn't drown. And it was that stage we decided that really our parents should learn to swim. It took my mother another 30 years to get around to it. She was busy.
Busy. Well, Mum taught swimming down here for many years and in my opinion, was pretty good, probably because she couldn't swim and she had to learn as an adult, so she was able to put herself in everyone's spot. But, and Anne and Mrs. Lewis.
Yes,
and
Mrs. Lewis. Trevor Chambers.
Trevor Chambers.
He was there for all life, though. He was employed by all life.
Oh, was he?
Teach down here, yes.
Yeah. When I learnt to swim, I think the guy's name was Redpath, and Mum had us all learn with him, but he put a tie around your stomach with a rope, with a stick, and he'd walk up and down the side of the pool. I learned nothing. And then how I taught myself to swim in the end was I'd start in the corner of the pool, pulling myself from side to side, from one side to the other, and get further and further apart. And I learned more by doing that.
That was fairly systematic.
Yeah.
You would see kids doing that all summer long, from corner to corner, here to corner.
That's right.
The way you learn.
Water polo was fantastic. I don't know if you remember. I remember because it's really almost the best claim to fame I've got. We used to play water polo, and you and I got picked to train with the state team.
Yeah.
Back these days, your parents would take you. They'd make sure you get there because we would have had to go to Henley and Grange or something. My dad was very busy at the time. Your mum didn't drive. They just couldn't do it. So when I think back now, if we had been encouraged to do it, who knows where it would have gone.
Yeah, did love Lord Pollen.
It was fun. Interesting.
I went out for trials when I was at uni. I went and started water polo again and went out for trials with the state team there. Within the first 5 minutes, a girl was commonly known as Orca broke someone's nose. So I thought, I don't know if I want to do this.
Yeah, I tried volleyball for water polo for,
quite violent.
For a couple of games.
Scratches down your back in salt water, remember that?
I value my knackers too much. It's too rough. too rough for me.
So on that note, thank you very much. That was fantastic. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you
very much.
Thank you.
It's all forever.
Remember the Russians and somebody in the Olympic, and there was blood in the water.
Oh, the Bulgarians and the US.
The blokes used to have to wear two pairs of bathers.
Yeah.